CliffCentral.com.
And what is your problem? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. It's 9 o'clock, and you know what that means. It's time for the Gas Comedy Podcast, because someone didn't play this thing that they said they were going to play.
This is thing.
But we are here. I believe this is thing, yeah.
So, I mean, I can't if I just plug myself
Let's do
in.
The thing.
How are you, Eric?
I am well, thanks.
How's
How
your week
you?
Been?
It's been tiring. It's been the Mondayest week of my life.
The Mondayest week.
The whole week felt like
but
Monday.
We need, what we need to do in this thing is to uplift people. So we can't be... Oh, it was hard. We got to now, especially after our announcement of the April Fool's joke of the year, because no one's recognized that it's not, it was announced.
Yeah, it's an obvious joke.
April
isn't
Fool's.
It? Yeah.
And who makes a cabinet reshuffle at 12 o'clock?
Come on.
You know when you come home drunk and you drunk dial someone?
Yeah.
When he comes home drunk, he's like, let's shift the cabinet. Let's mix. I don't like this guy.
I think he was with the wrong person.
You know when you
like,
play,
let's
when you come
shift
home drunk.
The cabinet. And then he was like, okay, cool. Who are we moving? Like, no, the actual cabinet.
That's maybe what he meant. He just
let's
said
move
to Pickford's, please
cabinet.
Move the cabinet.
Can I just say that, and no one's introduced me yet, and I wasn't expecting an introduction, to be honest.
Jesus,
it's that
why
kind
would
of,
you?
No, exactly. But this might be the most disorganized hour of comedy that's
So you've recognized that?
I've seen that
within
almost
8
instantaneously.
Seconds.
The way
you know what is nice? We've started 10 minutes late, so
wow.
We don't even have a full hour.
That
ladies and gentlemen,
incredible.
Alan Committee's joining us.
Well,
maybe
it's
you
been
recognize
a pleasure.
That voice.
Thank you so much and good night.
So you, but let's introduce you properly.
All right, go on.
Eric Jansen's got a, he's sitting with, he's got his glasses on under his chin.
Yeah.
Megaphone.
He's got a megaphone.
This is it. Now we've got everything.
This is the proper intro. Like, you are probably one of the busiest actors, busiest comedians that I know of. Because you really are a hustler. You proper work in the real world.
Yeah, yeah, I think a hustler is
like, I can't say I did a charity event last night for the Rand Park Residents Association. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But I'm working.
No, but you're working and you do yourself a disservice because you are very busy as well.
You got busy proper though. Yours actually sells tickets on computer. That's when you know.
Do you?
That's the difference.
I'm not sure. But
I mean, you took over. Let's hope you do a one-man show possibly one, twice a year. You do
I try and do at least one a year and then occasionally sometimes they overlap and it's every...
But that means you're a prolific writer. Like you're writing stuff.
And if I'm honest, I mean, that's good. Do you write every day? Do you?
I'll go through my stuff in my head when I'm driving.
Right.
That's accurate.
That's,
yeah. Same,
yeah, that's
same thing.
Yeah.
Bad.
Thinking and driving for you, Dave, that's not that's dangerous.
Just drive, stop. Think, drive, yeah, get then, out the car.
Yeah, which is why it takes so long
up.
To get in. Oh, man, handbrake up, very important. When I know shows are coming up, then you get into that writing mood and you kind of create.
And you kind of theme your shows?
Yeah, that's
what are your last, name the last 10.
The
I
last
think I did
10
a poster
shows.
For one of
them. Wow, you've done a couple of posters in the past, sir.
Yeah, I used to be a graphic designer.
Very fine graphic. Graphic designer.
That's amazing.
Let's see. The last 10, I'll go Titanic on Ice, Stress to Kill, Fully Committed, No Seriously, Sound of Laughter, Laughing Matters, Love Factually. There we go. There's 9. Take those.
But now, last one you did was Love Factually.
Love Factually, which was a follow-up to Defending the Caveman. So that was a show I got to do.
You
for
took
a,
over Defending the Caveman from Tim Pluman.
From Mr. Tim Pluman.
And then he took it back. Now he's back at Parker's.
He's back at it, apparently, yeah. So that's fantastic. Oh, that's very nice. That's, thank you. What a wonderful...
Would you like anything? What I'm trying to do is we've got this tester pad.
Yes.
So you must talk and be interviewed by this guy here.
Right.
Because this is very much... Watch, this is one of the things that happened on our actual show.
Let's see.
You guys just talk over each other the whole time.
You see, like I stopped there to let you speak.
The Gas Comedy Podcast.
See, we do have stings.
So those are brilliant. And you put the sting in the middle of
your
answer
of the answer
that I was trying to do.
As you said, professional.
I don't really care anymore.
So you wrote Love Actually after doing The Caveman. You got the idea to go, hang on a minute, there's something
like here.
Love
because
Actually
the show
Reloaded.
Yeah, essentially. Exactly. Which
Caveman Reloaded.
Caveman Reloaded, Love Actually is a kind of sequel version, if you will. It's a kind of modern take on relationships, 2017 style.
You had a bit of audience participation, which you dig.
I dig that. Not in the traditional style of getting people up and doing silly things, but interacting with an audience and making them... I think one of the successes of Caveman was that it felt like a conversation rather than a theatre piece.
Eventually. I mean, you had to... That's a scripted show.
Yeah.
Could you improvise a lot in it?
I had sections where I allowed myself to, I could riff. Because when Tim initially did it, he did it very much as a kind of straight play. And that's his strength. He's a comic actor. But the original script, Rob Becker is a comedian, an American comic from years ago. So he wrote it as a piece of stand-up. Then, of course, when it was licensed around the world, actors would take it on.
Then he didn't have to do stand up anymore.
Then he didn't.
That's basically.
Oh, that man retired a wealthy man. I got to tell you now. So he then sold the rights off to Rob Becker, is the original. Rob Becker.
Who's the Mars Venus writer?
Very good question. The person who wrote the that is Malcolm Fuentes.
No, and that was very similar to that. When
and they came out.
Like,
they came out almost the same time.
Mars, Woman from Venus.
Yeah, early 1990s. That was
a
big thing.
A lot of similarities. But then I suppose if he's doing it as stand up, he can copyright that performance piece. Whereas, you know, no one's going to read the book out loud in the bath and then claim that it's a play.
Exactly. Well, there's an idea, actually.
Adam Kimmitt's new play, Things I Did in the Bath.
But listen, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, they're finding new planets now. So that's the whole point of this, is like there's different playing surfaces.
Planet reshuffle.
Now we're talking.
You know the problem is with the podcast? We date it by speaking about a cabinet reshuffle. And from next week, the guys are just going to be politicians.
I won't be drawn into your date specifically. You're the only one who's brought this up. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
All I know is whenever you're listening to this, I'm well, Dave's reasonably well, and all is
okay.
Eric's always brilliant. Oh.
I'm sorry about that. But no, prolific. You're speaking about that.
Okay.
You took over from Tim Pleman. How do you get that?
Which is the past pluperfect tense of
Did that come to you?
It did, actually. I did a lot of stand-up shows or one-man shows for Peter Turin, and because he had the rights to Caveman and then shared them with...
Peter Turin's got the rights to everything. He's got the rights to an actual caveman.
He's got the rights to this show. You do know that, don't you?
This show?
Even this show that we're doing now. Yeah. Did you guys not... That's why I'm here. This is an intervention.
Eric went... We did the show last week from Sexpo, which our show
was
ended...
Why wasn't invited to that?
Of course you can be invited there. Sexpo only opened at 12.
And how was it? And how
so we
was
were
it?
Alone. We were basically exactly how sex is for comedians.
Exactly.
Go
on.
He left Sexpo at 4:30 in the afternoon.
No, he's talking shit. It was like 2:00.
It was like 4:30.
But we got there at 9.
Yeah.
So that means that
he couldn't get out. It's just a rabbit warren of shit.
Really?
On. But now he's just talking to his chick that he met on Sexpo on the phone, which he does during the
interview. Doing my show.
If the interviews are boring, he talks on the phone.
You see how I've taken that on?
No, it's not.
I appropriated the show quite strongly. Well, this has been fun. I'm talking to Dave Levinson.
Peter Turin here. The Ellen Committee show.
Yes. It's because...
More stings.
That's Eric. Nice. Eric's entire laughter on the show we just put into one 12-second clip.
So, this is a wonderful thing that you've got.
No,
here.
But I downloaded the free version, so I've only got 10 sound effects.
We've used six of them already.
Yeah, so we've got ice. We've got.
Yeah, we've done that. It's only 4:15. We started 10 past. We've done 5 minutes of the show, and I already feel like we've shot our load. Sorry to bring Sexpo back in.
No, it's fine. Like, do what you must. Do what you must.
Let's drop the mic.
I love it.
Okay.
And
that's
then the
amazing
sound technician comes in and fucks you up.
Okay. Yeah. But so, hang on. So Peter Jewett owns the rights.
He owns the rights to what?
He phones you from knowing you doing your one-man shows.
Yes, he says to me, listen, I've got a hit show here. I'm looking for a younger person to do Caveman. Would you be interested?
So he didn't ask you if you know someone, because that's what Eddie Cazar does to me. Dave, have you got...
Can we do a shout-out to Eddie Cazar this fine morning? He's had both his knees done. And that's hectic. Apparently, he's in a lot of pain.
Okay, well,
now,
I don't
should
know
stop
if he's
smiling
listening.
Because that's not right.
I don't know if he's listening.
He's listening.
I'd love him to be having a podcast in hospital. That's where our biggest market is.
Is the hospital?
Hospital podcast listener.
And if you're out there.
And it cheers him up.
It does.
That's what we're there for.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're there for. That. Set aims, have a mission statement, and follow through. That's what this is about.
So he's looking for a younger zing person who can draw a different crowd.
Yeah, and that's essentially what we did over a number of years. Is
when was that? What year did it start?
2007.
That's when you first did the Caveman.
And I did it for 8 years.
Defending the Caveman.
And it was quite, because the first 2 years he really worked at, I did.
10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago. Can you believe it?
But you still look so good.
Ah, you're very kind.
How do you spell your surname, people?
C-O-M-M-I-T-T-I-E. The I-E is the one that gets them, of course, because they think it's committee as in committee, which it kind of is, but isn't.
We'll talk about something else. But before we do that, someone said to me, Ellen Committee was my teacher at Westerford.
Now, this is the other thing that's, a through line in my life, because I was a qualified high school teacher.
So you weren't doing a teaching prep. You were a proper high school teacher.
Yeah, when I left UCT, I studied as an actor and then as a teacher. H-D-E-P-G-S. Sick, I think they call it.
I had that. It takes Amber.
Oh, I hate that. You applied in the wrong area, it can go horribly wrong.
Then it's just
come on.
I put Zambuk in my piles, it makes my fart smell minty.
That's very nice.
Eucalyptus, you mean?
I don't know the exact ingredients.
Get the smell right there.
I don't know exactly. What's in Zambak, Eric?
Eucalyptus.
Wait.
Zambak is near...
Yeah, it's... Ah. That's
because... You have got something for everything.
Nice. Eric, what are the ingredients in Zambak?
Why did you have to play that first? That is very demeaning.
We should look up the ingredients in Zambak because that's something interesting for an audience.
We can do that in a separate show. But so you're a qualified teacher. Yeah. Qualified.
Qualified. From the Latin. Qualifeo, qualifere, qualifui, qualifitum.
Quariforum.
Quariforum. Quadriforum.
Is actually a name of a wheelchair.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I was going to go with the... It sounds more like a lab.
Or a Roman. Quadriforum sounds like a farming...
It's a Roman kind
disco.
Of...
Fert, like
a Roman disco.
Yeah, with lights.
Yeah.
Come down to the Quadriforum tonight. We'll be having DJ Alan Committee with IE.
Cicero
on Disco Rose.
Hey!
Archimedes on the screw. Okay, so a teacher, so you actually taught young people.
I taught young people.
Is it a co-ed school?
Both at a co-ed school. I taught at West of It for a while, which was my school that I went to.
You went to the school as well?
Yeah,
I went to school. Was it weird?
It was.
I can never get out of here.
Do you know what was weird?
Get out.
Was that I suddenly realized, and in fact we created a TV show based on this, is I suddenly realized that teachers are nothing more than older people. Students, and I know that sounds obvious,
you
but
never
it is.
That learning ability.
So when you go into the staff room, it's the jocks, the bitches, the nerds, the same people sitting in their corners.
What was the show called?
It was called Those Who Can't.
Who directed?
Tom Eaton and
Tom,
I.
Was it Reverse Durant?
No, it was Quizzical, who used to be... Quizzical used to be...
But that's quite a cast, I remember that.
Yeah, Robin Scott, Kate Normington, Sylvain Strike.
Who owns that? Because they're going to bring it out on
Quizzical,
that Encore channel on SDTV.
Yeah, no, it runs at some point, somewhere in the world, it's running even as we
Star
speak.
Set.
In fact, Robin Scott got nominated, won last year, and Sylvain just won Best Actress at the latest SAFTA. So it's still going. It's season 3 now. I no longer, Tom Eaton and I created that show, and we wrote season 1 and a bit of season 2.
Tom Eaton, the cricket team that we played for.
Do you remember? Hey, a fine cricketer. Do you keep up with your cricket?
I spooled my hamstring and decided to keep up with my body.
Yeah, that's...
No, cricket was fun, but it's just it's a long day, and I got drunk.
Was it the well hangovers? You have got a sound cue for everything, man. Not for that.
We were called the well hangovers.
Yeah.
It was run by Uri Moshsovitz.
I miss him.
I don't miss him.
I don't miss him.
He had the longest run-up in the world.
Longest run-up, and he used to select himself first, obviously, which is because
he would place
team.
Himself in every position.
Every position.
If you couldn't field where he was, he'd go stand there and show you how it's done.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember
but
that.
How's this for a cricket team?
That sounds
Alan
like my
committee.
Current cricket
Nick Rabinowitz.
Yeah.
Nick Rabinowitz.
Tom Eaton.
Yeah.
Dave Levinson in the slips. No one stood a chance. We were sledging pros.
Oh, never caught a thing.
People cried.
But people, we used to laugh them out.
Yeah, if you're laughing, you can't face a ball.
Apart from wicketkeeper, slips have to have the second quickest reaction time to everything.
Without a doubt. And in fact, it's hard.
And they had you.
Yes.
Yeah. And he took a couple of fine catches.
He did?
Yeah, not in the game, sadly.
back in the change room.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Man.
What a team. What a team. It feels like we're drinking a lot on this show.
Yeah. You know, all this ice.
I played the ice and then I opened the bottle. What we used to have on here is called Breakfast Beer Club. We can't do it in the studio anymore because you can't have alcohol in the studio. And also, we shouldn't have alcohol in the show.
No, really shouldn't. But is that a broadcasting rule?
No, it's a Cliff Central, the desk rule.
Don't have liquids. No. Well,
this coffee's got a lid on.
Yes.
So now, Alan, you're actual
I'm still
teacher.
Here. Right.
You're actual teacher, teaching children
teacher.
What languages, what things?
I taught English, Afrikaans, and a bit of drama.
How's Afrikaans?
It's all right. I grew up in
Vanderbijlpark.
You can talk important Afrikaans, like, dit was heel bekoorlik. Wat 'n fantastiese vraag. I got interviewed by, am I allowed to mention another radio station, like Aris
Gier? This isn't a radio station.
This is another radio station.
Fuck, please mention Aris Gier. Shout out to Jody Abrams.
And I miss Jody Abram. Is he really on Aris Gier?
Yeah, you were on a... No, you're not. There must be a guy called Jody on Aris Gier.
I'm sure there is.
Does the sport. I'll tell you exactly what his name is. So Aris Gier, you were on the show.
No, Aris Gier came to interview us because I've just directed a show, which we can talk about
in
a
little...
They came to us and they
said... Listen, thanks for coming to us.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here.
I don't have a high-five voice thing.
I will just
do us.
There we go. And Aris Gier, and they talk to you in Afrikaans, and I always start with confidence. Baie dankie vir daai vraag. Dit is eintlik... And then there's a pause, and then I. So basically, the show is, and then I just go back into English because
your mind goes, "Yep, no, that's all Afrikaans we have."
That's it. That's
in
all
the English, please.
Isn't that true of all English speakers in South Africa? No, we'll give you a couple of words in vernacular, Afrikaans, like, and then that's it.
It's like I say to everybody: if I start the conversation in Afrikaans, I'm fine. I can have this conversation with you, but don't ask me to do things in Afrikaans and then respond in Afrikaans.
Exactly.
Like, it goes nowhere. Some Zulu, just.
And bring it in quietly.
So we actually came to the play, which you're doing now. We'll talk about that just
in a moment. Yeah,
yeah. Let's start. The first time I saw you was at the Coffee Lounge, where you tried out.
Now, hang on, tell the people what I did, and you organized that. So you didn't just see
Brian Weinronk.
Okay, wait. Before you guys get
all right, hang on.
Let's do the formality things. Wait, quickly.
Just okay, formalities. Come on.
One man, just the WhatsApp line. That's all.
Get it now. Watch this.
Okay.
Text us on the WhatsApp line 079-748-2090.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. But we have a WhatsApp from a guy.
Okay, go.
Yeah. No, he was saying, just been listening to the podcasts and I've heard you guys talking about dying a lot. So I've never actually seen it until this past Friday at the Goliath Comedy Club. Some Asian chick went on and she made it awkward for the crowd. So my question to the comedians are, why don't you guys just leave? Is there a reason for you staying?
No, some I've left. If I'm not working on it, I go, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Some comedians feel that they have to stay because they've been paid for that time.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, I have to stay.
Yeah.
But you should be able to
leave. I think if you're part of
listen, this isn't working. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
cheers.
Exactly. And particularly if the crowd really are very hostile towards you and have no interest, then what's the point? Comedy is a two-way contract.
But what do you say to your producer of the show? Listen, it wasn't, John Flissmas left the show. I mean, I went there 3 years later. The guy said to me, oh, John Flissmas is here. And halfway through the show, he just came to see it's not working and he left. So I said, but that's honest of him.
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm not paying him his full
fee. It depends what he
said. So then don't pay his full fee.
Yeah, but at least he did what was good for the crowd.
Guys, you aren't digging my stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I'm not going to look like an idiot here.
I agree.
So I'm going to leave. So he made the decision. So this guy's answer to that is it's a very big decision to make as a comedian.
Absolutely. It depends on the context, because for example, if I'm doing a one-man show in a theatre context and people have paid 120, 150 bucks to come and watch you, you kind of can't just stop. So you're assuming, unless every one of the 150, 200, 300 people are chanting your name to stop, in which case then give them what they want. You should always give an audience
in a play,
what
they want. Have you the play, the guys have come to see you do the play and they want to see that from the beginning to end. So you can't halfway through the play just look at Robert Bridges and go, I'm not feeling it tonight, and just walk off.
The contract is to continue.
Oh. His name's Jody Hendricks.
Jody Hendricks, look at that. Addis here.
Have you guys seen the Dave Chappelle specials on Netflix?
Apparently they're very good.
Ah, so blazing. And funny enough, he mentions it because in the one show, he says one of his shows he did, he got booed off stage. Like some lady got up, went to the stage and went, Dave Chappelle, get the fuck off the stage. You suck. And they started chanting, give me my money back. And then he had this thing.
Banks did that. I remember I went to the old Ratanga Junction. Was at the Officers Club or the Officers Mess. Remember that venue?
Yes.
Years ago. And he went up on stage and it was one of those awful nights where the people in the bar didn't know it was a comedy night. Only the comedians know. Which is unfortunate because
was
the
Was it the Sam Hendricks gig?
And so he came along to... and he walked onto stage and people were kind of chatting. They said, ladies and gentlemen, comedy for the next half hour from Mark Banks. And someone just turned around and said, fuck off. And Mark, without even flinching, went, I only give my audience what they want. Good night. And turned around and walked off before he even greeted them and left.
Yeah.
And so I tell you, not one of the audience. So there you are.
It takes a strong comedian to do that. Yeah. Not the young comedians can't do that because they've got their 5 minutes they want to do. And somehow they go into like a zone where you go, guys, it's not working. But get off.
But that's also a good point because also dying is part of getting better as a comedian. So when you're younger, I think that two of the worst things to watch are young comedians and young magicians, because we have to be bad before we get good.
Yes.
And you have to watch that. And hopefully you're watching it in a context that's safe. So you're watching it in a comedy club.
Try not
going,
to watch magicians at all.
Yeah, if you can. But if you are watching, you're going, okay, well, these are young comedians plying their trade. They're going to get better.
But then isn't that the host's job?
Well, now there's... Now you see,
we're talking about the coffee lounge. You were going to say something now, something else about the...
No, I was going to say Dave Chappelle had the line where people were booing him off stage and then it was in the headlines and then they were like, Dave Chappelle booed off stage. Then it's like, I was booed, but I did not leave.
Ah, you see.
It's like, people of Detroit.
I was off stage.
Hear me when booed. I say, you will not get your motherfucking money.
Exactly.
Because I said, stay on stage. The host job, and I've done that at the coffee lounge, that's where I learned to become
a kind of a better host than I thought I was.
Right.
To go to someone that's having a bad time on stage and walk on stage, take the mic and say, hey, buddy, try next time. And have the audience go, thank you, host.
Yeah.
And won them over instead of losing them completely. Just go, hey, listen, that's cool. So, not only have you gone over your time, you haven't had a laugh for the 7 minutes you've been on, you haven't had a laugh.
Yeah.
You had an awkward shift of chairs.
In fact, you've taken laughs from some of the other sets.
That is the host. Hosting at your life that night made a mistake.
Yeah.
I know that she was probably from overseas or go on stage and say, hey, listen, it's hard in this country to do comedy because you're new. Watch a few more shows, go to the box, go to one of the open mic venues, get your chops. When I went to go to London, jeepers, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes, we could.
There's
talk
a
about
shift.
That.
It's almost like you're speaking and what they're hearing is in another box over here.
Correct.
And all you need to do is catch those two things up.
Yeah. And sometimes they're that close, but that distance, I'm making a little gesture, by the way, for those who can't see that. Yeah, a little hand. I mean, I think this is interesting because I love hosting, I host a lot of the Cape Town Funny Festivals.
You became a fabulous host.
And it's one of the things, because I think that control over the evening and the way you run, if you will, not to sound too wanky, the kind of narrative of the evening. So the show should have a story. And the story is, here's a young comic who's trying his play. Here's the big headline we all love.
That's becoming a good person, not a bad heckler.
But your responsibility at the end of the night is, have you carried everyone in that space of 2 or 3
on the,
hours.
On the comics on that thing? Okay, those are tried comics.
Sure. No, but even
you're
that
about
tried.
The Cape Town, what is it?
The Jive Festival have also tried, you know, they always have a kind of a newbie spot or a newcomer spot.
Could you explain that to the audience?
Absolutely, and you set that up for them, and that's your task. And so I think...
The thing is, I don't think this chick would have been said she's an international comic and just never got this other...
But listen, we've done that. We've gone overseas. I mean, Edinburgh, as you say...
When did you do Edinburgh?
Was it not the same year? Well, no, we saw each other there that year because you came to visit, didn't you?
I don't know what I was doing there. It's the saddest moment.
I went the year
life.
There were 25 South African productions.
I had Trevor Noah next door in the venue next door.
And did he struggle? A little.
Oh, shame.
It's tough overseas because sometimes it's everyone's speaking English, but as you say, it's
even
all the cultural references.
Like sometimes it's like you guys say that in England. They go sometimes it's what?
Yeah.
We know just now. Sometimes it's
exactly. Yeah, it's.
They just didn't get.
What is interesting doing like New York. It's like London is kind of multicultural and they kind of expect for you to sound different. When you go to LA, you have to sound like them. You have to, and you must speak about their stuff. I remember my first ever biggish gig in LA was at the Laugh Factory and it was on a Saturday night. And for some unknown reason, they gave me a kind of headline spot at the kind of 8 o'clock show. So that's a 20-minute spot in a 400-seater on one of the kind of premier comedy clubs.
God.
And Oscar Pistorius had just been arrested. The very first time, this was, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was everywhere. It was running on a loop on CNN. And I went up there and I thought, and I made a decision.
You're from South Africa.
I thought, a decision, let me orientate myself in relation to that. That's something they'll know. So I said, and I can't remember what I said, but something in relation to how I'm the blah, blah, blah. And they had no idea about Oscar Pistorius. All they wanted to know about was traffic on Highland Avenue.
What's it like? What's it like to be in LA?
In LA. What's LA like?
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee and traffic and stars. And that's all they want you to talk about.
Here and they'll do the same five things. They'll talk about, you call your traffic lights robots.
Yeah.
Just now. Yeah. Now. Yeah. They all have those things and they do them. And a lot of the audience are going, we've seen a lot of comics come up with something. So it's difficult.
It is difficult.
Go to LA and go, okay, let's sit in this coffee shop and look.
And that's part of our task, isn't it? Is to go whenever you're there, if you spend a couple of days, and find the other angle.
Were you a funny teacher?
Yeah.
You can't be. Dad jokes.
Listen, you learnt a couple of things. You learnt kind of crowd control. I think any class is like a typical crowd. You need one laugher or one guy who always asks a question or one doers who's going to create a bad vibe. And then that whole audience
takes on
the...
He's probably very rich now,
that
one doers.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
He's always
He's
always a doers.
But
he's got
podcast.
Money now, yeah.
Crowd control.
So when did you go, teaching is fun, thank you very much, there's no money in it?
I only taught part-time. That was always kind of a stepping stone for me.
When someone wasn't there, you'd
step in. No. But I would only teach kind of part, like I did a number of hours a week.
Okay.
So I didn't get involved with like curriculum planning and marking and all that kind of stuff.
Sports after curriculum.
Well, that's actually because I'm a cricket man. I suddenly found myself at Westford one Saturday afternoon umpiring the first team game and it was fantastic. But it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, this isn't part of my, how did I get into, this is no longer. And that was the moment I kind of thought, it's time to move on a bit. I taught at Herschel. It's a private girls' school in Cape Town.
That's where I was not allowed. 50 meters.
I mean, those posters are still there. Good picture, though. It really works.
Look young.
You look a lot younger.
That's the idea. The posters aren't really helping much.
Were grabbing the pussy before it was cool.
Hey, wow.
Before, Joe, we went straight there. Sure. Let me see if I've got a sound effect.
Okay, let's
that.
See. Probably just the glass thing again, I would imagine.
Yes.
Oh, wow, it's gone off. You had to. Okay.
You
there we go.
There isn't, if I download the sound of a pussy being squeezed,
yeah,
it would sound like this. I don't know. Okay. Alan.
Sir.
We've gone. Okay, there's so much stuff because
so much stuff.
Edinburgh. You went to LA. Who organized the LA gigs?
I was dating someone in LA at the time.
Jeepers.
Yeah,
how do you do that?
Yeah, that was a hard way around to getting the gigs. So
And he's a nice guy. Is he?
He's all right. Look what you did there. That was very good.
They don't lay lie on the internet. They lie.
I happened to be there and I kind of thought, well, I'll give it a go. I found London and New York much easier because of that kind of sense of they
New
open
York
to listening.
Fantastic. In the audience, there'll be people from Hawaii, so next to a Japanese couple.
Correct.
And then you can have
And London's the same. And London at least knows South Africa.
And also, do you know what I found in LA? I didn't go on stage, watched. Everyone in the audience has got a script in their on
they're
their
all peddling,
laptop.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there and they're all either failed comedians trying to get into a sitcom.
Right.
Or comedians on the up, so they don't laugh.
Yeah.
All they're doing is like, if you do a good line...
Everyone's working.
If you
Everyone's
do a good line,
hustling.
They go, damn, I wish I'd said that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to see, can I work that into my thing without getting noticed that it's stolen?
Right.
And then, or if you suck, they're like, geez, this is the best guy in South Africa.
Right.
Alan Committee, he's their best guy. Yeah. My mojo got stompled in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
I came back here and went back into design.
Really? It's a huge conference.
Full month. It's not Grahamstown Festival.
No. And, well, I mean, there are 3,400 shows a day at Edinburgh Festival. Of those, I think 700 of them are stand-up comedians.
On the second day, 800 shows cancelled.
Right.
They just said, we can't do this.
That's
2 days of standing on stage by yourself to one person.
So if you start doing the maths and whatever, I mean, it's literally an average, for most of the shows, an average of 6 or 7 people in an audience per show.
And it can go wrong so quickly. One guy stood up in our show. I was there with Luis Ogola.
Right.
And he stood up and he went like this. And he just got up and walked out. And then he stood outside the show and gave people his own money. Gave them, as they left my show, he gave them money. He said, here you go. He gave them each, like, it was £20 for the show, which, what is that, 3,000 rand?
Now, how did Eddie Cassar get to Edinburgh?
So this is an English guy. Obviously, I think he was a comedian trying to, because he wrote about it on his blog and everything. So he says, I will personally stand outside the show and give you your money back as you leave. And what he didn't realize is that it was a cultural show. It was never, ever meant to be a stand-up show. It was sponsored by the council. So we really were talking about South Africa as it is now and it's Africa as it used to be. So they've got a white guy, 45-year-old white guy,
right,
and Luis Ogola to speak about the contrast of the two. I grew up in the same era,
right,
but with different lives.
Yeah.
And here's our story. Half an hour each, enjoy it. And this did not bind to it at all. We weren't up there talking about apartheid. We were talking about our lives. We didn't mention the word apartheid,
right,
or try and say... Anyway.
This show is segregated, nothing.
What is this apartheid thing?
Apartheid.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And it's like any show now. It's getting harder and harder now because I think people are... I don't know about comedy, but let's talk theatre just for a moment. There we go. And a nice intro. I think people are becoming less literate, not only in reading, but also recognizing cultural things and read plays. And so to orientate them when they come to something, I've just directed a show called The Play That Goes Wrong. There isn't a more commercial property out there. It's a funny, silly farce.
And that's one of those, that's a play that's tours around the world.
It's
you buy the license rights.
Absolutely.
Do the things,
it's on at West End. It's opening on Broadway tomorrow night, in fact. There are 14 versions around the world.
Okay.
It's a huge commercial property. Two nights ago, I stood in the foyer and I heard ladies as they were, so what are we watching? They literally come to the theatre and they had no idea what they bought.
Or they belong to one of those clubs that they literally get 12 tickets.
Friends
for
so I asked them, I said, how did you get here not knowing? And she said, well, our friend wanted a girls' night out, so we've just come along. So which is perfectly fantastic, and they've made the effort, they've come out. But now they spend the first 15 minutes going, we don't know
why this is. Yeah.
Imagine tuning in to this magnificent podcast and
not knowing
nothing about Dave Levinson.
The thing
or me.
You know about this is it's going to be chaos.
Well,
but today's
exactly.
taken on quite a nice
format. You've got a bit of a shape today.
You've got some
Hold
ice.
On. Oh.
Just needed more ice. Thank you. My coffee is delicious.
So, it's kind of, I think it's getting harder with audiences and also our attention deficit. You know, we can get
140
news.
140 characters.
140 characters.
Reshuffling the cabinet at 12 o'clock at night.
Every 5 hours. I mean, it's probably changed again, even as we're speaking.
Yeah, that's like,
but then, hang on, when I say prolific,
the cabinet.
Let's go through this. Okay.
Okay.
Teacher.
Yeah.
Doing his part-time teaching. Then he comes to the Coffee Lounge, which was, I started my own comedy club. It was fun. No one would book me.
And I got, remember, because I was still a teacher at that point, I put on a teaching academic gown because I thought that was the way, man. Listen, we all done some
did
embarrassing things.
Did my ex-wife heckle you from downstairs?
Did she really?
That was the funniest thing. She wouldn't dig the comedy. She would go sit downstairs and get drunk. Then I would be doing the comedy upstairs for the 8 people. 6 of those were open mics. And 2 of them was obviously the lift home.
Yeah.
So on stage at any given time, Jason Cope, Riyad Musa.
Jason Cope, who went on, of course, to do amazing.
Conrad Koch. All these people are sitting, and then you're like, okay, let's do this. Do the comedy show. And then from downstairs at Brian Weinrong's Emporium.
Yes.
Remember, it was the comedy lounge was upstairs. Then you just hear this from downstairs. You suck!
Amazing.
Imagine being heckled from someone in another room.
By the host.
Well, soon to be ex-wife.
Right. Is she well?
She's fantastic.
She
listens to this.
Does she?
Nah. So then, Sam Hendricks says...
That was because it was cold, man. You didn't have to play the laugh. You killed it.
So, Coffee Lounge, you come up there. It's the first time that you've done comedy.
Yeah.
And you're literally doing stand-up saying in a stand-up comedy club with 8 people.
So before that, I trained as an actor, and obviously my kind of forte was comedy and doing kind
of
comedy.
Had you wanted to do like stand-up? That was something that someone suggested, hey, like,
I'd wanted to do one-man shows. I kind of had a hankering for, and so I think at that stage, I was about to do my first one-man show, which was a one-man Richard III. Do you remember I did that
by yourself,
Smirnoff?
Every single character.
When was comedy?
1998,
1999. So 97.
The Smirnoff.
I did
Smirnoff
and I did a kind of character thing for Sam.
For Sam,
and
you did a Mr. Bean?
I used to do as Mr. Bean then. I was a lot thinner.
Jeez, you work
now
hard,
I do the Michelin Man. Mr. Bean, I used to do Austin Powers when that came out. So it was just kind of those.
Jeez, you'll do anything.
There
Austin
Powers,
oh, listen, Mr. Bean, that's the big three. Have you ever done Jesus or God?
When they were big.
Okay. big three. Alan.
I suffered during the dark ages. I mean, I couldn't.
And you work with Weir? Is it Robert?
No, Chris Weir.
Chris Weir
used to lecture me at varsity. He was my kind of...
Listen, Ellen.
Yeah, listen, you've got to do... So he was my... And we've done our 20 productions together. He's my kind of my resident director and kind
of... He used to do Not Midnight Mass.
No, that's Graham Weir.
Is that Graham? Friends, family?
Not at all. Different.
That's weird.
W-E-A-R-E?
I know, I spelled it wrong on the poster.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, because you did a couple of posters for me.
No, but I always spelled Chris Weir's name wrong.
You spelled my name wrong as well a couple of times. But the posters were good. Do you still do posters? I mean,
If I see a show that's doing well and the poster's cuck, I'll phone the guy and say, can I just redesign it for you?
Oh, man, that's good.
And I'll do it for free because it's part of the whole thing of comedy is, that's why I got this magazine here, is there's ways to do it. There's people who've done it before you.
Yeah.
When I get to gigging, there's no spotlight and there's no mic stand.
Yeah, that's very frustrating.
I'm like, come on, every picture I've ever seen of a comedy night
has those
mic
two
stand
things.
With
correct.
A spotlight on it.
So if you can't get
with
that
the names
right,
of the people.
Yeah.
Get those things right. Someone's done it before you.
Yeah.
Find out. Go watch. Go see. But I mean, I'm into that. I like my gigs to be proper.
No, I
get
agree.
The people at the door to know, hi, there's a comedy night here tonight.
That's very, it sounds like
so
obvious.
So many of these bars, it's someone going, no, they're lucky. They're friends of mine. They come here all the time. So they're going
to
hate this.
Yeah, because this is not
to
what
meet
they,
their friends.
Yeah.
Tell them at the door and then charge a nominal fee. Doesn't have to be big bucks. 10 rand. Buys my conscience into the show.
Right. So, did.
Let's
and then
this.
We had a cabinet reshuffle. 10 rand doesn't buy you nothing now.
Yeah, 10 rand is going to be less than 4.
Is Poppy still free?
Yeah, still.
Oh, what's still free?
Problem.
Coffee. No, it's not a problem. It works.
Oh, no, it works.
Okay. Come through to Poppy. We'll
I've
see
been
that
to Poppy's plenty times.
You are lying.
You've seen me in the background there. I just don't want to go on.
What's Poppy's?
Poppy's is in Melville.
Melville, Monday night.
There'll be 40 comedians and 8 punters.
And that's where he's lying. You see, this is what I'm saying. He hasn't been there in a while.
It was sad that he spreads this deceit.
Yo, he's lying about our gigs.
Poppy's is a good name.
Yeah. It's the name of the restaurant, so we didn't really do much. They did most of the work.
Cakes.
Why have you got this magazine here? Because you've referenced now.
I referenced it because...
let me tell the audience what it is. It's a Destiny...
Destiny Man.
Destiny Man. And we've got the Goliaths on the front there.
Yeah.
So that what I'm seeing there is that the media are picking up on what's happening in comedy.
Yes.
And in there's a very businessy article. They talk about the business side of it, how the Roast Cafe started, how the comedy things, what they did, where they saw the gaps in the market. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Like there's so much more to be done.
Yeah.
The comedy pie isn't broken.
No.
You're a comedy actor. The play you're doing now, what's it called? The play that goes wrong.
And
that's basically the name of this podcast.
Exactly. You should call it. Yeah. Well, the podcast that goes reasonably right for the most part. How long have we been going? It's just
don't look at the time.
Look at that. No, but that's extraordinary because I would have said to you if you'd asked me at this point that it was only 1:30. But it's 1:45 already. It's 22. It's 22. Oh, it's not as far as. There's still a lot.
We've still got some.
No, but listen, you've got too much stuff.
What else can we? I mean, I'll tell you what, giraffes.
Why don't you read some stuff out of the Destiny magazine?
Now, what is Destiny? It's lovely.
Okay,
man.
Wait. So, Eric, Poppy's is cooking.
Yeah.
What's the format of Poppy's? They don't charge anyone.
They don't charge anybody.
Okay.
Everybody comes through and watches.
Charcoal, a dark secret to a better skin.
No, man. Read the article.
No.
No. Not the okay.
Charcoal.
Find the article.
That's what it's
an albino about charcoal skin.
This guy. You see this guy. This is how you get stabbed after a podcast.
Apartheid's over.
Okay, so here's a quote from one of the Goliaths. We never
did you just yawn now? Have you ever done? I read tape aids for the blind.
Oh, I've done that.
I came to my school and said, anyone who wants to read can read. Yeah. I never knew if my story got listened to by a blind person, but I would like to. I'd like to think that someone listened to my story.
And because they make you read, I've done. It takes like 2 hours.
I read kids' stories.
Oh no,
I read Roald Dahl and things.
Maybe I read Roald. There was like a, but it took 2 hours of because reading is a long.
And also, they don't stop you if you do make a mistake. They say that the listener
they likes say the to blind hear, people doesn't read.
No, but they like to we hear can't that you giving, are a real.
They've
person.
Already got.
Yeah, but they like to know that you're making mistakes because that's what you would do if you were reading it anyway. They don't do a retake or something. Just read the book, press record when you finish.
If I made a mistake and I was reading live to a blind, I'd just get up and walk away. And
if you're reading to them to their face, and then be like Alan,
Because I'd made a mistake and I'd feel deeply, deeply disturbed.
I wouldn't use my real name. So are you making fun of blind people now?
No.
What did you say?
Oh.
Well, Mr. Committee, please report to the principal's office, Mr. Committee.
That's basically what Pravin Gordhan got.
Goes,
where are you? I'm overseas. Summoned. You need to come to the principal's office. And what I actually said, I'm not, you know, I don't know how he speaks. I'm not getting fired. No, those rumors are not. He speaks slowly. And he was like in denial, and everyone's going, no, bro.
You are.
I get called to the headmaster's office at school. There was some shit that wasn't getting a merit, anything.
No.
Were you a good kid?
I was fairly good.
Drama?
Drama.
Colors?
I think
colors for drama.
I got colors for drama. I was a Ducks pupil.
What does that mean?
That's like the leading all-round.
I ducked in second break.
Did you?
I was also a Ducks pupil.
I did all right at school. But you're right. You didn't get. I think that. He's not.
When did you finish school?
91.
91.
Yeah.
I was born in 95.
Were you really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievably frustrating.
Does that not make it all sense now?
That does. He has no idea. He can't even listen to two sentences that we're saying. He just wants to play with toys and hit things.
Sorry, I'm very distracted. I suffer from this thing called.
Have we got more WhatsApps?
We do. That's actually what I was looking at.
Okay, let's look at some WhatsApps.
WhatsApp us on the WhatsApp line.
Text us on the WhatsApp line 079-748-2090.
There go. Michelle is just saying that she missed most of the podcast and she's greeting all of us. Michelle is one
Michelle,
of our avid listeners.
Yeah. Avid listener. Avid is fantastic.
Often listens Avid.
Often listens Avid.
She's got wings.
One of our regulars. She
Michelle, lovely to hear from you. You're tremendous.
She works in an aquarium.
To every show.
Yeah. She works in an aquarium.
She's in love with Brandon, who's also normally on the show.
So why am I not getting the full show experience? Brandon,
no, he's at a psychiatrist today getting some shit sorted out. Maybe you don't want him here. And he has stabbed many guests.
We normally have music as well, but I mean, Dave doesn't take his job seriously anymore.
Are you meant to prepare music like in between?
It's just too loud, so you got to make it a bit softer there. Right, so now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they played louder there. Fuck that. Alan, this is one of the guests. I'd like you back.
Yes.
I'm gonna come, Eric and I can come see the show.
Good.
So do the preamble of the show. Besides the fact that it's a well-known Broadway show. Right. I'm an old lady. I've got the ticket because I get Peter Turin sold me 48 tickets.
Edgar's back Club kind of half-price
so early
bird special.
So tell us about the player. Who's in it?
So it's an all-star cast. There's 8 people. It's not often that we get to see these big casts anymore because financially it's constricted.
So Peter Turin's back-roading this thing regardless of whether it's sold out.
Exactly.
Must have to pay for the rights.
He's takes a bit of a risk on these things. This is what makes him a good impresario. It's a West End Olivier award-winning play called The Play That Goes Wrong. It's essentially about an amateur dramatic society who put on a murder mystery with
an amateur dramatic society, like the Milnerton Players.
This is the North Riding Polytechnic Amateur Dramatic Society.
Okay, so they're a bunch of guys who have jobs during the day.
Correct.
But they love drama. They love quite drama. Made it.
If you've ever watched, have you ever watched an amateur dramatic society?
I was in them.
They will do anything to put the, and it's beautiful. On the one hand, it's beautiful, but it can also be hilarious because
there's always that one guy who realized that he could have been an actor or takes the main role.
Yeah.
You know who steals the limelight? The little guy that's just, do you want to do this thing? He comes in there, people go mad when
go mad for
on.
Him, and he's charming and he's lovely. That's the problem. Yeah. And we have that in the show. So, Russell Savage.
There's another one. There was a show, Noises Off.
Noises Off. I love that show. So this is like the third act of Noises Off, where by the time you come in, you're seeing the show, but all the stuff that's gone wrong backstage is filtered through on stage.
So have you got a double stage? Are we watching both?
No, you watch the set collapse literally over the 2 hours of the show. All the flats fall, a floor goes, and now the music. And what is this conversation happening over my conversation?
I don't know what he's doing.
I'm
listening to you.
I don't even know why I'm talking.
It's not coming through, yeah.
It is.
No.
It's coming through.
You see? Exactly. He doesn't even know. Okay. Let it happen.
Is Gareth Cliff here? I mean, could I chat to him?
Oh, you want to go to the principal's office? So hang on. Noises Off had Michael Caine and they did a movie.
Carol Burnett, Christopher Reeve. Okay. Superman was in it,
so
man.
Open the play for me if I'm an old lady. Say, what is this actually?
I just told you you were listening.
No,
you,
but
were
listen, you were busy talking to me.
No,
yeah.
Fuck me off.
Right.
So now,
what's the premise? These eight actors try and put on a show, but the play, literally the set, turns and conspires against them. There's a cabinet reshuffling of the set.
So the physical is a poltergeist?
There's no poltergeist, but there's a lot of physical comedy.
So then the set would be like the eighth actor.
It's the ninth actor because the eight actors already
on
stage.
Listening.
I noticed that.
Name them.
Russell Savadier.
Love him.
Theo Landy.
Good voiceover artist.
Good voiceover. Theo Landy, also good voiceover artist. Yeah. Robert Fridgen, a fellow comedian of ours. Nicole.
Robert, tell the story. Robert, would you like to come on the podcast this morning? Do Robert?
Which is also his opening monologue for the show, which is strange enough.
Asking Robert Fridgen to be on the podcast.
He wasn't happy. I mean, he wanted to. He will not answer.
Tell him it's not going well. It's 10 to 10. We need a 10-minute soliloquy.
We've still got. So, Nicole Sive Kubanga, Nicole Franco, Louis Fillion, a Cape Town writer.
I love Louis Fillion. There's not enough black people in this play.
That's probably true. But that was an unexpected blindsided question.
He threw you under the bus.
He did
and then reversed over you and stopped.
Unbelievable.
What are you going to do now, Alan?
Yeah.
I think you need a cast reshuffle.
Okay.
Would you ever do that in a play, like 3 weeks into it, swap roles?
If it was a longer run,
understudies
we would.
Do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't afford that in this country. We don't have money for understudies. Seriously, this production in London would have three understudies. Oh. We don't have anybody. So if anyone goes sick, we're
nothing.
Done. Yeah. You can't be sick. You can't be hurt. You got to
get on stage and talk.
You just get on stage
and
keep
going.
How
long is it running for at the Peter
Six more weeks. It's on until the 30th of April and then goes to Cape Town for 7 weeks.
We're at
the Theatre on the Bay in beautiful Camps Bay.
Okay. That's amazing.
You're our first real...
real person.
Actually have a show that's running that people can buy tickets for.
Man, I think that's fun.
He says this to everybody.
I know he does. Last week you had Glenn Biederman Pam. He was going to be in the show, by the way.
Okay.
How was he last week? I didn't listen to last week's one. Was he?
Well, the ice is too soft.
Yeah, ice is very soft ice.
I love Glenn Biederman Pam because I like hardworking comics. Dusty Rich used to call them industrious bastards.
I like that.
And he's like, this guy gets up in the morning.
To be fair, Dusty Rich was quite an industrious bastard in his own way.
Very,
yeah.
And also going overseas, arriving there within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's in Australia. Since last year.
And is he doing all right?
It's been a year.
Straight away, headlining shows.
Man,
no fear. Get on there, do the stuff.
He's a good man.
Mansum Toti, strong.
Strong doing the business.
So it runs until then. We've got tickets we can actually buy for this thing.
Yes. I can give you two. Should we give two tickets away?
Because the podcast doesn't work. Because
it runs
in 5 years
later
time,
and
someone's listening to you.
They might still want those tickets.
Yeah. So then we must reshuffle again.
So we should say something let's try and make a predicative.
Oh God, are you trying to fix the podcast?
No. If someone is listening to this in 3 years time,
yes,
let's try and say something that could be relevant then.
Okay, cool.
So something fairly neutral. Okay. But
Where do you take your hoverboard to be fixed?
Well, ever since Cape Town became a desert, I now have to
They found gold in Table Mountain, and they are so
have they really
mine that stuff, man.
Who said they found gold in Table Mountain?
It's basically, when I say gold, yeah. I mean it's a girl who gives the best hand jobs
right.
on Signal
That's gold.
Hill.
Are you guys excited for the new Hunger Games next season in America?
That's going to be good.
Yeah,
the movie.
I can't
real?
Believe the it's sequel like has real. Been going for so long, but it's brilliant.
The one in Russia.
Yeah, that one.
That's the one.
Them in the in
Russia versus USA.
But I didn't think they would make it into a musical. Yeah. But I think it's going to work.
Is this three? Are we doing 3 years time? Again?
We're doing 3 years time. That's what he was setting up there. Wow! Come on.
Gee whiz, Dave.
I'd like to just apologize for the, in 3 years time for my.
I can't
my penis,
believe
I had my penis,
our female president said what
has
she
done
said.
It, has done it again.
Has done it again. I can't believe that.
And after she had that sex change operation to become a female.
Whoa.
And change the name to Jemima.
Jemima. Incredible. That's covered all the international. That's
well, in 3 years' time, it will be interesting to listen to this. Where will you be in 3 years' time? Do you know you got to interview? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Not working for you
guys. Yeah, definitely not yet.
That's a good question because do you, I mean, I used to set like.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to set goals,
just
like 3 or 4 5 year goals or whatever, and I tried to achieve them, and I think for the most part I did. As you get older, like, there's so many things you.
And your relationships and things aren't easy as a comedian, obviously.
No, never easy
you,
as a comedian.
You were married or engaged or something.
You know, all these things happen in life. And you go through and...
Let's
and
talk
and
about that for 10 minutes. But you're not seeing anyone now? You're married again or you...
I'm
not that we care, but...
No, no one cares. That's the honest truth. No, it's not easy as a comedian.
So were your financial goals or were they life goals?
No, they were like achievements in work or... I remember saying... I would either be doing so many one-man shows or I'd get a TV show, and I got a TV show in that kind of between 30 and 35. I said, I want to do a TV show, and I did Fun of Volts Fault and Those Who Can't. Then you go, well, now I want to work overseas for a bit, which I did do. I went and did. Because working overseas, there's a difference
between... these are things we need on this podcast for other comedians. Like, set yourself that goal, and you actually did it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that Goliaths do.
Yeah. I think that's important. Because even in our world where it feels like there's no structure or discipline or anything, you can still create those little moments. It doesn't mean you have to change your lifestyle. I think part of a comedian's fun is that
Bruce Lee was talking about that.
They're a bit mad and crazy and they're all over the place. But even within that, you can still have a little bit of shape for yourself.
Yep.
Because otherwise, you suddenly find yourself... You know, 3 weeks in and you've done stuff all, you've not seen anybody, you've not written anything, you've not made an attempt to do anything. So you've got to give yourself a little bit of shape.
Ruslu and Martin Evans are talking about that after we left Sex Bay. Said some girl said to him after the show, said, you guys talk shit for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You get paid 20,000 rand and you go home. He said, well, what about the 14 years of experience?
Correct.
To do that 20
absolutely.
Minutes. To have 400 people at a banquet, put their knives and forks down and listen to every word you're saying.
Correct.
That's 14 years. That's
absolutely.
What you're charging them
That's
for.
What you're charging them. And or in any moment, if someone does something to change the shape of the evening and to ride with that.
Exactly.
And to keep the evening going. That you don't
on the fly.
Yeah, exactly. Your head of HR who suddenly come in as the in-house MC can't do that. So if something goes wrong, that's what you're paying comedians for or good hosts.
So your day isn't filled with that 20 minutes of comedy. At your office, if you had it 9 to 5,
correct.
You get to work, you're not doing much work until about 10.
Right.
Talking shit to your friends and things.
Community, and people are listening to this right now when they should be working.
You've still got it. Maybe you go to gym, maybe. But checking your emails and also booking
when
you
looked at me now when you said maybe you go to
maybe
gym.
Maybe you go to gym.
And then you knew I didn't go to gym.
We went to gym once that one time.
Did we?
Yeah.
I love
broken.
That.
It I was. Couldn't get in.
I do the gym.
Do you do the gym? You look well. You're a fit young man.
Thank you, sir.
But you're also young. That'll change soon. Don't you worry about that. You say
the youth will leave, but not the gym.
You will get older and you will die on stage at some point.
At some point.
I died recently.
Did you?
Well, I didn't die.
Are you the Korean
girl? No, I'm not the Asian girl. No, man. Like, you know, as a comedian, you know how you're supposed to perform. And then even though you've got them laughing and everything's going well, you're going,
it still doesn't serve. Yeah.
No,
well, that's good.
Me.
For me, the best traits of a comedian are you able to assess your own performance
it's
accurately?
How many times you get knocked out? It's how many times you get
back up.
That's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that's Rocky.
That's incredible. I thought it was Tumi Meraki there.
It was. Hey, in the morning, just as she's woken up after she had a cigarette.
So you've got to assess your own performance.
You
and if you can't,
yeah.
you come off and you go, that went well, and all the other comics are going, that was not good, you're done.
Yeah.
But to be able to have your self-awareness.
Yeah, that's it. And don't be hard on yourself, because some days you are going to be brilliant on stage. You can come off and go, I couldn't do anything wrong. That's amazing. And it's not always going to be like that. Just understand
Ebenezer
that.
Ebenezer struggled last night. And I said to him before, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to rock this crowd. I said, bro, they're 70 years old. This is a Ratepayers Association's charity gig. That whole table are 70. Not their aged they're 7,000.
Yeah.
They're old people. And he went to the, hey, bitches, I'm going to fuck them. And then also listen to the host. The host does the crowd work.
Correct.
I will find out who the girl in front is called. I'll find out where that comes from.
Go and address her by name.
And I will find out. So listen to the host. He came on and said, what's your name? And she looked at him like a...
like, why didn't you
Doreen.
Know that?
I've been here since the beginning, haven't you?
Yeah.
And that's amateur.
Yeah, it is.
But as he stuck around, asked for some advice, and left.
Okay.
And because he wants to do this for a living. He doesn't want to do this like flash in the pan. He wants to write. He writes for 1-2 hours, does the thing. He stuck around. A lot of comedians die, you never see them.
Yeah.
Like when I died at 20 and 5. God left.
Yeah, but
to a corporate.
Yeah.
But the day in the comedian's day when that actually made me realize we do a hell of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You book your theatre dates now a year in advance.
Yeah.
Because you can't get the Baxter in 2 years now.
Yeah.
Baxter still run comedy because they hated it at one stage.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup there. And it's hard for them, I guess, because part of their first kind of prerogative is to run theatre shows. So comedy comes along and comedy does very well. They see how well it does, but they don't like the seeming lack of structure.
Yeah.
But of course, it just depends who's running those gigs as well and how they do it. I've always run my... That's, I mean, you know this. I've always run my...
So cool, man.
Both my... I think because I've... do a lot of theatre and that. I see my comedy as part of the theatre. Comedian friends of mine think I'm an actor. Actor friends think I'm a comedian. It's fantastic. I live somewhere.
It doesn't
matter. And it doesn't matter.
Oh, are you paying your bond?
I'm paying my bond. Yes.
Exactly.
All new people.
So have you got stuff?
What's happening now? This is a takeover. You know,
this is the part where they choke me out.
Oh, man.
So the play runs until when?
30th of April in Joburg. 17th of June in Cape Town. So if you're listening to this before the 17th of June, you've still got a chance.
We were talking about this play. Like, that play was...
That play was the thing. Wow.
Have you directed stuff?
I've directed a couple of things. I've directed a couple of comedians like Stuart Taylor. I've worked with Rob Frigin in his one-man show. And then I've done...
Are you friends with Rob from Fieran?
Rob from Fear and I are great friends, yeah.
What is the Fun of Maver movie?
So that was something that I was also offered at one point. It looks quite...
It's real, it's happened.
It's happened, they shot it. And I think it's coming out at some point. I wasn't in it, so I don't really know much about it, other than it's based on Fun of Maver.
And really, the timing is terrible.
It couldn't be worse, but I think it's going to do very, very adequately.
Do you want to... Like every South African movie ever.
Yeah.
Were you ever in Big Oaks or any of those things that...
I was in... I did guest spots when I was... Big Oaks, Fishy Fashions. What were the other one?
They were all run in the same studio. She used to film them on either side.
Yes.
Do you want to tell people who you are and why are you doing this?
So, what a thrill to be. Listen, this has been the thrill of my... Not the thrill of my life, but it's been
it's
in
been
the top
of a Friday.
It's certainly the best thing I've done so far this morning.
Please grab a gift bag as you leave.
Thank you very much. Oh. If you want to follow
please
me, it's at
bag.
Alan Committee, ALANCOMMITTIE. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. Come and check out my stand-up shows. I've got a new stand-up show here at Monty in September called Laughing Matters. Dave Levinson and I are going to be doing part-time Jehovah's Witness recruitment program work later this afternoon. Elovu, so come
part time. I'm never fooled. Never go all out.
Don't do it.
And from me, if you know a Miss Linda Riedling, guys, please ask her to pay a Woolworths account because they keep SMSing me. CliffCentral.com.